You have a God of new beginnings. You may have given up on yourself, but you have a God who will never give up on you. You may feel like you've done something too bad and you could never be, but in God's eyes, there's hope, and He's able to resurrect anything He wants to resurrect through the power of the Holy Spirit. God sees you, God loves you, and God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can experience a new life. You can experience a freedom that you've never experienced before. You can experience the power of God within your own chest cavity. You can experience the power of God within your own spiritual abdomen. Rivers of living water will flow from within you if you just turn to God and you say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Hey friend, thank you for clicking on this video. I am Pastor Ruben, the lead pastor and founding pastor of this amazing church. I pray you hear a word from God that encourages your soul and gives you a new perspective on life. We're in this series called Fire, and it's related to the Holy Spirit. The Lord put it on my heart. You know, after my sabbatical, I visited a lot of churches, and I realized something. I realized there's more, and the Holy Spirit can do more. And I saw some churches who I felt like were tapped in to the supernatural. And I saw other churches who weren't so much. There were great churches also. But my prayer was, God, do something at Thorn Creek Church that we've never seen before. Do something at do a revival here in this church and a revival across North Denver and beyond, and do something special. And I'm hearing that. I am hearing that. I was just talking to someone between the services, and they were saying they're living in Inglewood and they're going to be coming here to church, and this is their home church. And I hear it all the time. People say, I live 45 minutes away or an hour away. We have people who drive up from Colorado Springs. We have people who drive up from Fort Collins. So praise the Lord. And I hear about transformation and hearts changing and marriages changing. And that's God. That's God working. So praise the Lord for that. So we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit. The Lord put this on my heart. What does it mean? What does it mean to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Who is the Holy Spirit? And how does it relate to our life? The title of today's message is Dating God. Now, I it's an interesting title, I know, but the Lord just put this on my heart. And I thought about my date life. Now, some of you, maybe you remember the your dating life. Maybe you're in your dating life right now. Maybe you're married now, but you're still dating, which I think is a great, great, great habit. But the dating life is interesting because when you date someone, you're trying to figure out, who are you really, right? You're trying to figure out, so, okay, I see you're giving your best, but who are you? And there's two kinds of dates. Right, and I remember this from the days. The first movie I took my now wife of 33 years was Top Gun. I'm dating myself right now. That was our first movie. She got cold feet because it was like 1 in the morning or 12, and it was a midnight movie, and she didn't ask her dad. Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, when you go to a movie, you don't talk much. The only thing you say is, you want some popcorn? And then, I mean, Nicole Kidman says, shh, you know, this kind of thing. So we don't talk a whole lot at the movies, and there's a lot of guys who are like, that's the way I like it, you know, kind of thing. You go to a movie, and you just, now there's another kind of date that involves sitting down and eating. Now, assuming you're not looking at your phone, that's another sermon. But in that sit down and eat format, what do you do? How was your day? How are you doing? Anything going on? Tell me about your life. You know, there's a lot of talking involved. There's a little bit more effort. So as I thought about this, I thought when it comes to our relationship with God, some of us just want to go out to the movies with Him. I don't know if I want too much of God in my life that requires me to change. I don't want Him to be the fun police in my life. I don't want Him to change me so much. Truthfully, I like being who I am. Truthfully, I like my life the way it is. Truthfully, I'm okay with doing things that other people might frown upon. I'm okay with being selfish. I'm okay with me time. I'm okay with me. I'm okay with nobody telling me what to do. I'm okay with that, right? Let's just be honest. And you're just going out to the movies with God. But I want you to know, your God wants to have a relationship with you through his son, Jesus Christ. And you came to church today because God wants you to hear this. God wants to have a relationship with you. He doesn't want to just go out to the movies with you. He wants you to know him. Let me say it like I thought about the difference, incidentally, between like dating God and committing to God. And when it comes to dating God, it's about your will. My will, so to speak. But when it comes to being committed to God, it's about his will, right? When it comes to dating God, you think about distance. You think about proximity. Like, I want him I want his blessings. I want more money. I want more love. I want all that stuff. But when it comes to a relationship with God, it's about, fill me. I want to know you. I want to smell you, God. I want to see you working in my life. See, dating God is about, I'm going to hold on to these things in my life, and I know this is not right, and I just can't let it go. I don't want to let it go. But when you're committed to God and you have a relationship, it's about letting go. What do you want me to let go of, God? I'll do it. There's this trust. There's this trust that you have in a commitment with God. So let me say it like this. The gift of the Holy Spirit is evidence that God doesn't want to just take you to the movies. You hear that? Some of you, maybe right now, your relationship with God, and maybe you haven't heard God speak to you in a long time. Maybe you were dragged to church. Hallelujah, you were dragged to church. Somebody cares about you. Whatever it is, maybe you've grown up in the church. Just because you've grown up in the church does not guarantee that you have a close relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I thought about this relationship stuff, and I thought in the book of Hosea, chapter 2, you see this relationship God has with his people in the Old Testament, and it's Israel. And you see a picture of the kind of relationship, the heart of God. And God tells Israel, his people, he says to them, one day, you're not going to call me master. You're going to call me husband. Isn't that beautiful? God, we our perspective of God, some of us can look at God like that. We can say he's just a master. No, you got it wrong. He's a husband. He's a loving God who wants to have a relationship with you. In the book of Jeremiah, God calls Israel his unfaithful wife. And he still loves her. He still loves her. Who's the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God who eternally exists in three distinct persons, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God, all equally God. Each person shares the same divine nature. They have distinct roles, distinct functions, but they work in perfect harmony, accomplishing God's will. And you see the Holy Spirit as early as Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters, over the earth. You see it early on. You see in the Old Testament, before Jesus comes into our world, you see the Holy Spirit come down and take a hold of Samson, take a hold of Gideon. You see him take a hold of Elijah. And you see these incredible moments where the Holy Spirit comes down. Now, in the New Testament, when Jesus comes into our world, one of the things, and you see over and over Jesus talk about, he says, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, let's jump into this. Jesus said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Let's read that out loud, guys. Say it. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. You see, it's capital A because it's referring to deity. It's referring to the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. Glory to God. Aren't you glad you have a God who will never walk out of your life? He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all what? Truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. What a thought. God could be in front of you and you don't see him. The Holy Spirit could be working in your life, and you don't know it. You don't recognize it. But you know him because he lives with you now and later. Let's read those last words right now. And later, One more time. And later,
we'll
there's the message today, guys. So Jesus is talking to the disciples. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come down and make Elijah run really fast or whatever it was. And you see the Holy Spirit. But in the New Testament, Jesus says, No. One day it's going to be different. One day the Holy Spirit is actually going to be living inside of you. And Jesus says, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to battle your demons. You need the Holy Spirit to beat your addiction. You need the Holy Spirit to help you with your marriage. You need the Holy Spirit to help you be a better person. You cannot be a fruitful, faithful Christian without the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to get through life. You need the Holy Spirit to battle, to beat that anger issue. You need that Holy Spirit to change your heart, to take out your hard, stubborn heart and put in a tender, responsive heart. You need the Holy Spirit to work in your life over and over and over. You can't do it on your own will. You can't do it with your good intentions. Your willpower is not enough. You need the Holy Spirit every single day. You need the Holy Spirit. Here's the good news. God wants to put his Holy Spirit inside of you. Wow. In the Old Testament, one of the places you saw the Holy Spirit was in the tabernacle, in the most holy place. And a priest was allowed to go into it one time a year. Not everyone was allowed to go into it. It's a crazy thought when you have this God who's obsessed with this idea of you knowing him. And he says, you know where I want to put the Holy Spirit? Inside of you. I think about what that means. That means I can know the presence of God every day. I can hear him speak to me every day. He can stir my heart. He can do whatever he wants. And I can hear a word from him every day. And his Holy Spirit will always be with me, even when I'm down, even when I'm in a weird mood, even when my feelings go up and down, even when I'm in dark places. The Bible says God's Holy Spirit will be with me. The Holy Spirit will convict you. The Holy Spirit will help you know what's right and what's wrong, will tell you what's true. The Holy Spirit will give you strength when you feel exhausted and weak. The Holy Spirit will sanctify you, make you holy, will help you live a righteous life. The Holy Spirit is active, and the Holy Spirit will help you through life. John chapter 7, as I was looking at this, I was praying about this message, and I am saying, Lord, what do you want me to say and about the Holy Spirit? And the Lord drew me to John chapter 7. I read this passage last week, and it says, Jesus said, anyone who is thirsty, say thirsty with me, may come to me. And then verse 38, he says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. So it's an open invitation. Hey, you want to know God? Turn to Jesus. You want to know God's purpose for your life? Turn to Jesus. You want to experience real life? Turn to Jesus. You want to know your purpose in life? Turn to Jesus. And Jesus says, anybody can do that. Anybody. And then here's the consequence of it. For the scriptures declare, let's read this part out loud, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. What does that mean? When I read that, the Lord just showed me that. Rivers of living water will flow from your heart. Do you notice it's natural? You turn to Jesus, and there's so many benefits of knowing Jesus. There's so many benefits. You experience the forgiveness of your sins. You experience the grace. You experience the love of God. You experience purpose. But Jesus says, no. That's not it. You can also have the Holy Spirit, and rivers of living water will flow from within you, flow from your heart. And this is, I looked at this and I thought, well, I wonder what another version says. I always look at different versions when I read the Bible. The New Living Translation, great version to help you understand. It's interpreted thought for thought. But the NASB, New American Standard Bible, it's interpreted word for word. And I love looking at that one also, but sometimes when you read that one, it's interpreted word for word. You may not understand fully what it's saying because of our English language. But I looked at the NASB and it says it like this: he who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And he's talking about the Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And I thought, what in the world does innermost being mean? So I did a deep dive. I double-clicked on innermost being. And you know what I discovered? The Greek word for innermost being is koilia. And koilia means a hollow space that encompasses the abdomen, belly, womb, or heart. Koilia. Remember Jesus said, from your koilia will flow rivers of living water. And when I looked at this, it said a hollow space. And one of the things I noticed, or I saw it was related to your spiritual abdomen, your belly, your womb, your heart. And I thought, you know what all these things have in common? You cannot see any of these things from the outside. They're hidden. And Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will work in the hidden places of your life. The abdomen, it's the place where you stress. It's the place where you worry. It's the place where you have butterflies. It's the place where you get ulcers. It's the place where all of those things happen. And the Holy Spirit will work right there in the midst of all of that. And your spiritual womb, this is a place where life grows in the womb. This is a place where you hear a word from God and God waters it, and all of a sudden there's something churning inside of you and you're growing roots. And then one day you say, you know what? I want to read the Bible. I want to serve God. I want to go to church, because something inside of you have a new desire to be obedient to God. And then your heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, because everything flows from it. You want to know what people's heart looks like? Listen to the words that come out of their mouth. Hello. The words are a tattletale of the heart. Everything comes from your desires, what you want, holding on to grudges, lust, greed, pride, any of those things. And Jesus is saying, from your innermost being, from your koilia, that hollow place, the Holy Spirit will move there. And the Holy Spirit will work inside of you and give you a new peace, a new joy, a new purpose that you've never had before. Your circumstances may not change much, but there's all kinds of change happening in your spiritual abdomen. There's all kinds of change happening in your belly, your womb, and your heart. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. And I thought about this a little bit, and I thought, you know, when we were on my sabbatical, and we went to Europe to go follow the steps of Paul the Apostle, and that was an amazing experience. My favorite place I went to was Corinth. Corinth is about a little over an hour from Athens. This is a car that I rented, and I scraped just a little bit. Let me say it again. I'm a good driver. But anyway, so I rented from Athens, and we drove to Corinth. Corinth is really significant. That's where you, in the Bible, you read about 1 and 2 Corinthians. During the days of Paul the Apostle, when he went to Corinth, which was right around 51 AD, he spent 18 months there in Corinth. Incredibly influential city. More influential than Athens. It was actually much bigger than Athens during that time. And part of it had to do with the water. You had a body of water on both sides. So there was a lot of trade. There was a lot of business going on here. And some people would even say that Corinth was the most strategic city to spread the gospel in all of Rome. Incredibly important city. So Paul the Apostle shows up. We're going to read something in Corinthians in a little bit. Paul the Apostle shows up there in Corinth, and I want to show you a picture of the harbor that was right behind us. That harbor right there is the place where many ships would come in, and maybe even Paul the Apostle showed up at that harbor, and he would do that. We went to what's called Ancient Corinth. And there you see the Apollos Temple. And we went there. This Apollos Temple was built in 550 BC. This existed when Paul the Apostle was there. This was the place people would gather to shop. In fact, when you walk around, there's places that are like little, almost looks like a cave or different places where you can shop. Think the Orchard Mall. Think the Outlet Mall. That's what it is. So people would show up there to buy and purchase. And incidentally, there were 75,000 gods that were worshipped during this place. The Apollos Temple looked a little bit like this, but I want you to see something. The Apollos Temple is here, but you see there's a hill behind it, the far left. It's called the Acrocorinth Hill. It was a high place, about 1,886 feet above sea level. It was this fortified hilltop where people could take refuge as a natural defense with the city. Now, we saw it from a distance, and we actually drove up, and it was closed. By 10 minutes, we missed it. But we saw all these switchbacks, and I learned a little bit about this. On top of this hill was a temple of Aphrodite. You know who Aphrodite is? She is the Greek goddess associated with love, beauty, pleasure, and procreation. So on top of this hill, this place known as the Acrocorinth, you have the Temple of Aphrodite. And here's a picture right now. It looks like a pile of rocks. But at one point, it was a full-on temple. Now, what makes this temple unique? Is it involved prostitution? There were 1,000 prostitutes that were associated with this temple. And here's what they would do. Go back to that picture, brother, again. They would walk down this temple and all the switchbacks, and they would walk all the way, these 1,000 prostitutes, men and women. They'd walk down and they'd go down to the city. And then when they went down to the city, they would have sex with people. And the way you worship the goddess Aphrodite is by having sex with them. Free sex. So you have sex with these prostitutes, men and women, but it was expected that you give an offering to the temple of Aphrodite. This became, now keep in mind, this is happening when Paul the Apostle is there. This is happening when Paul the Apostle is there. Incidentally, in Corinth, he also wrote the book of Romans. But this is all happening. A lot of these prostitutes were former slaves, and they were now kind of sold in this sex trafficking business. And people would visit Corinth to have these sexual experiences. Everybody knew about it. In fact, there was a phrase during Paul's day with these prostitutes that would come down from the temple of Aphrodite. And you know what it was? To Corinthianize. I'm going to go to Corinth to Corinthianize. That means I'm going to indulge in sexual experiences. It's kind of like what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. A little bit like that, right? During Paul's day, Corinth, if you were going to go there to Corinthianize, everybody understood what that meant. So Paul the Apostle, he starts this church, and he recognizes, and he speaks, you know, he's speaking at the Temple of Apollo, and he sees what's happening at the Temple of Aphrodite, and he sees what's happening in the culture, and he's trying to help these new Christians know what it means to walk with God. Kind of like when you turn to God and maybe you start going to church or maybe you accept Jesus Christ into your life, you make that decision, but you still have kind of like baggage in your life. You still have relationships in your life that you got to get through. You know what I'm saying? You still got stuff you got to work through and you're like, okay. And then God starts speaking to you and says, you don't need that anymore. You need to walk away from this. It's like the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you in a loving way and telling you, I'm with you and you don't need that anymore. So Paul the Apostle is talking to this church in Corinth, and all of this stuff is happening. Now let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is why Paul said these words. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, the temple of Aphrodite, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive or cheat people, none of those will inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul is trying to help everyone understand. They're in the temple of Apollos, in the temple of Aphrodite, and all these people who are, he's like, you need to understand something. And when I looked at that, I thought, man, Paul had courage. Paul had courage. And then verse 11, I love this verse. He says, some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you have a God who searches you out and he forgives and he cleanses and he fills? Thank you, Lord. And that's why in that same chapter, you know what you see? Paul says this, don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. Remember, he's talking to those who call themselves Christians. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Some of you need to hear that. Those of you who call yourself a Christian, your body belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. So how you treat your body, what you allow to go in your body, the decisions you make, where your feet go, all of those things matter to God. All of them. You know, we live in a day and age right now where we like read the label behind like a bag of potato chips or something, right? We're all about health and diet. We're all about that. I need to count the calories. I need to count carbs. How much sugar does it have? You know, it's really hard for me. There was a day and age. Some of you remember when we didn't look at labels. Anybody remember those days? Those were glorious days. I grew up on Church's Fried Chicken in my neighborhood. I'm just telling you. And I love Church's Fried Chicken. I'll take the number three. I knew what that was. I love Church's Fried Chicken. And now there's not a lot of Church's Fried Chicken around me. But I grew up on that was a staple in my home. I'm so glad I didn't know the calories and how much grease and how processed it was. But it was so good. Now, like last night, I went to Qdoba. And even on the menu, it tells you how many calories everything. Like, I don't want to know that. It's like, I don't want my chips with guilt on the side. I just want to enjoy a burrito. Don't tell me how many calories it has. You know what I'm saying? But some of you are really good about that. And I think that's a good thing. I'm not trying to dog it. I understand. And I think it's a good thing, right? We're trying to, you know, eat healthy, live longer, all that stuff. And even so, like, we work out. I try to work out as much as I can, and you know, you count your steps, and you have apps that count how many miles you went, and you have apps that, you know, tell you how many reps you did, and I mean, you have all these wonderful apps that monitor all kinds of levels and your blood pressure, and you know, I have an Apple Watch, so I you know, I get all that, and I think that's a good thing, and that's the world we live in. But I want to ask you this. Are you aware of the spiritual label in your life? Do you look at situations and think, the Holy Spirit wouldn't want me to do this? This is going to affect my relationship with God. If I look at that video, if I go incognito, if I'm in that relationship, if I go hang out and do this, if I do that, this is going to hurt my relationship with God. I'm going to pay attention to that spiritual label. I don't want to do that. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says, "And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live." He's talking to Christians. Remember, say remember with me, remember. He has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Another version, NASB says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." So let me break it down to you like this. The way you live can bring joy or sorrow to the Holy Spirit. Don't make it hard for the Holy Spirit to live in you. Don't make it hard for the Holy Spirit to stay in you. You could bring joy or sorrow to the Holy Spirit. You know what is interesting to me about this? Is this idea of do not bring sorrow to the Holy Spirit. We're talking like the Holy Spirit is a person. You know what it's like to have sorrow, don't you? Somebody says a word to you that kind of makes you sad. You hear something that kind of makes you sad. You see something on social media that you weren't invited to, kind of makes you sad. You know what I'm talking about? And here in this verse in Ephesians, you hear this verse and he says, don't bring to sorrow. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad by the way you live. Don't do that. The way you live matters to God. In other words, wherever your feet go, the Holy Spirit goes. And how you treat your body matters to God. Now, I get it, guys. I know some of you are like, I've done things with my body that I'm not proud of, and I want you to know you have a God who loves and forgives and redeems. God doesn't want to just take you to the movies. God wants to have a relationship with you. You have a God of new beginnings. You may have given up on yourself, but you have a God who will never give up on you. You may feel like you've done something too bad and you could never be, but in God's eyes, there's hope, and he's able to resurrect anything he wants to resurrect through the power of the Holy Spirit. God sees you, God loves you, and God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit so you can experience a new life. You can experience a freedom that you've never experienced before. You can experience the power of God within your own chest cavity. You can experience the power of God within your own spiritual abdomen. Rivers of living water will flow from within you if you just turn to God and you say, Holy Spirit, have your way. You know what blows me in my mind about this? Is I know some of us, our bodies have gone through a lot, right? I know you're thinking, man, if I could be 21 again or 18 again. You know, some of us, you know, our bodies have taken different shapes, right? Our bodies, we might have aches and we might move slower. We may have had surgery, whatever it is. But you know what blows me away? You're thinking about it from a human perspective. You're thinking about it from a physical perspective. That's the wrong perspective. A spiritual perspective is God wants to put his Holy Spirit inside of you, and rivers of living water will work inside of you. And it's part of our journey here in this world. You can experience heaven within you. Hallelujah. I can go on and on about this, guys. It blows me away. And I think about some famous temples and churches. I think about St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Amazing place. I think about St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. I mean, you see the statues and you see the paintings and you see the architecture of this church that has been under construction for over 100 years. It's crazy, Keith. Over 100 years. And you see all this. And you know what blows me away? You are the temple of the living God. And God wants to put His Holy Spirit inside of you. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter who you are. God wants to put His Holy Spirit inside of you. God wants to put a new joy inside of you that this world can't give. God wants to put a new peace, a new love. He wants to give you a new kindness. He wants to give you a spirit of self-control. He wants to put in a spirit of faithfulness all inside of you, the fruits of the Spirit. God wants to put His Holy Spirit inside of you. You want it? I want to give you an opportunity. Ephesians, Paul said, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You came to church today because God wants to put His Holy Spirit inside of you. He wants to do a new thing. He wants to put His Holy Spirit in your womb, in your abdomen, in your belly, in your heart, in that hollow place. The other thing about that hollow place, it's also the place where we hunger. It's also the place where we experience famine. That's that hollow place, the innermost being. So here, I want to give you an opportunity. I thought a lot about this. You know, last weekend, we had 148 people come forward and say, I want the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you an opportunity. And I thought there's different ways to end this service. You know, I could say, hey, you can just right where you're at, bow your head. And if you want to say this prayer, you can say this prayer. But then I thought, you know what? I think we need to physically, with our bodies, show God that we want Him. It's not always about comfort. It's about sacrifice. It's not always about comfort. It's about saying, you know what, God, I want you, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. So here's the two invites today. You got to be bold. Think about Paul the Apostle preaching lights out right at the bottom of the Temple of Aphrodite, at the Temple of Apollo. And I'm guessing this is a guy that was not invited to backyard barbecues. He was not invited to Christmas parties or birthday parties or whatever. This is a guy who spoke truth and God used him. Glory to God. But here's the part that is going to require courage, is I'm going to ask you to stand up. And I know some of you, like I said, I know you've done things with your body that you're not proud of, but I want you to know you have a big God who loves you. And the fact that you're breathing right now is evidence that God has a purpose for you and He cares about you. Here's the first invite. You need to get ready? I'm going to invite you, those of you who want to become a Christian today. And that's it. Look at my brother standing up already. Look at my brother standing up already. That's the Spirit of God already stirring him. Glory to God. Way to go, brother. Last night I was talking to someone and they told me I wanted to stand up, but I was afraid what other people would think. Oh my word, look at this, guys. The Spirit of the Lord is... Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way, Holy Spirit. You know what my job is, guys? Just to teach you the Word of God. To show you what a blessed life looks like. That's my job. Everyone in this room needs the grace of God. The person sitting to your left and to your right need the grace of God. You just need to know. And you can start with me. We all need, this is a safe place, guys. We all need the grace of God. Don't you worry about what other people think. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe even it's a recommitment, would you stand up really quickly? And I want to pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, glory to God. Look how the Holy Spirit is moving. We have two people. Look at the people standing up over here. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Way to go. Stay standing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Here's the next one. You want to dedicate your body to God. Stand up really quickly. You want to dedicate your body to God and you want to say, God, I want your Holy Spirit to live in me, and I want your Holy Spirit. I want to make it joyful. I don't want to make it hard. I'm going to give my body to you, God. Hallelujah. You have a God of new beginnings. You have a God who moves and restores. And the Holy Spirit is moving in this place. Hey, come with me, guys. I'm going to kneel down. Come forward. Those of you who are standing, come forward. And you can stand around me. You can kneel around me. Oh, God, we humble ourselves before you. Holy Spirit, thank you. I am keenly aware, God, that you deserve all the glory. Those of you who are ready to give your life to Jesus, would you say this? Say, Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, come into my heart. I want to become a Christian right now. Forgive me for my sins. You know my life well, and I ask you to resurrect my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to live for you. So give me a new heart. Give me a new desire, a new appetite, Lord, and change and transform me. Today, I choose to become a Christian, and I want to live for you. Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. You are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Others of you, you need to say this prayer. Holy Spirit, fill my body. Holy Spirit, I want to be your temple. And I don't want to make it hard for you to live inside of me, so forgive me if I have. Today, I ask you to resurrect me. I ask you to sanctify my body, cleanse my body, and I want to know your voice and your presence every single day. Give me a new power and a new strength that I have not had. Give me a new peace that I have not had. Holy Spirit, I give you my body, and I say, use me any way you want, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Give me the courage to live for you. Make me holy. Make me righteous. It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And Holy Spirit, you give me that strength. Thank you for your grace. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we say all of this. And the church said, amen. Hey, thank you so much for watching this message. I pray it encouraged your soul. Hey, you are an important part of this church. If you are encouraged by this ministry, we ask you to pray for us, and we also want to give you an opportunity to give. This church is supported by those faithful people who honor God with their giving, and you can do that by clicking the link below. Have a great day.